Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. He's known as the father of cryonics, Robert Ettinger, passing away in his Clinton Township, Michigan home this past weekend at the age of 92. His son, David Ettinger, joins me now to talk about his father's legacy. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you.
Now, your father envisioned and then created the technology of cryonics, which involves freezing the body of a person who has died in the hopes that future medical knowledge will be able to bring them back to life. How and when did he begin to develop this idea?
Well, my father was in the U.S. Army in World War II, and he was badly injured in the Battle of the Bulge and spent several years in and out of hospitals. And in the course of that, he read a couple of things that gave him the idea. One was some science fiction about the idea of freezing, an early story about that. And then secondly, he also read about research that was done, the first research in limiting freezing damage through using so-called cryoprotective chemicals done by Dr. Audrey Smith. And he began to realize that actually freezing people and reviving them was a viable solution. He then waited for someone else to propose it, because it seemed obvious to him, and no one did, and then in the 1960s he wrote his book.
Now, this must have been initially a bit controversial, the idea of actually doing this to a human body, wasn't it?
Well, it's still pretty controversial. Most people are not frozen today, of course, even though my father was our 106th patient at the Cryonics Institute. It's more common than it was, but you can't say it's what most people do when they die today, that's for sure.
What kinds of initial reaction did your father get to his efforts?
You know, there has been, over the years, of course, disagreement by a lot of people and resistance. And, you know, my father is one who always taught me not to defer to authority and to look at logic and the facts. And the facts are that, you know, technology has been constantly improving. And people who have predicted that things would not occur, that improvements would not occur, have pretty nearly always been wrong. And so one can expect that a time will come when medical technology will be radically better. And, you know, we'll be able to live a lot longer and have bodies that are a lot healthier. And so the question is, how do you and I and people alive today get to take advantage of that? And we need some ambulance to take us there to the future, and the one way to do that is by freezing.
You know, as humans, death seems like one of those things you just need to accept. What did your father think about death, and was it something that he often talked about?
Well, you know, when you talk about cryonics, you talk about beating death, and so he, in that sense, he did. But my father was not a fearful person. He was just the opposite. As I said, he fought in the war. In fact, interesting story. He was an artillery lieutenant, and they were told to stay on the ground and not get up because it was too dangerous, but he got up anyhow and stood up because he wanted to sight the artillery better. He wanted to see more. A bunch of shrapnel came in and riddled his legs then, but if he'd been laying down, it would have killed him. It would have gone right through his helmet. And so, you know, he took that as a sign, maybe, or an example of, might as well be bold. And I think he was all his life. He didn't worry about what other people thought. He did what he thought made sense.
Now, as you said, your father joins the over 100 frozen patients at the Macomb County facility. That includes his wife and mother. Have all your family members been supportive of this process?
I mean, not everybody in the family has joined, but many have. And certainly my wife and I are members and are going to be frozen.
So when you look at the body of a person that is placed in a cryostatus state, does it remain completely unchanged from the moment that it's been frozen?
Well, there's a process to cool the body down to liquid nitrogen temperatures, which is a little more than minus 190 centigrade, and that process takes about 5-6 days. During that time period, the body is changing very, very little. Nothing happens during a period of that length. And once you're down to liquid nitrogen, essentially nothing happens. So that body could stay frozen for a very long time without change. And a very long time is indefinitely.
I'm talking to David Ettinger. He's the son of Robert Ettinger, the father, a man known as the father of cryonics. Now, once the body is frozen, what's the process of keeping it in that frozen state? What do the facilities look like?
The Cryonics Institute has constructed a large number of storage units, which are large capsules that are you know, that are heavily insulated, kind of almost like very large thermos bottles that contain the individual patients who are each in containers within those capsules. And they're designed so that they are extremely safe and extremely cost effective. They liquid nitrogen evaporates from them very, very slowly and needs to be replenished only occasionally. And so they can be maintained very inexpensively for a long period of time.
What are the costs involved in freezing and then maintaining the body in that frozen state?
The fee that's charged by the Cryonics Institute is, for people who are members and have participated, $28,000, under some circumstances $35,000. So it's really pretty affordable, and many people finance that through term life insurance. So for those people, it's, you know, a few hundred dollars a year typically.
I've heard of cases of just the head of a person being frozen rather than the whole body. Is that, in fact, another option for people to choose?
At the Cryonics Institute, we don't do that. We only freeze whole bodies.
I see. And are we in any way close to making your father's vision come true, or could it be still hundreds of years before we see the potential of being able to unfreeze those that have undergone the process?
Well, you know, predicting time periods is pretty tricky. There are some signs that, just reading the newspapers, that some pretty radical things may be on the near horizon. You know, there was last year there was some research reported where certain aspects of aging in mice were actually reversed. Now, how long do you go from that to doing that with people? I don't know. And, you know, it may turn out that was a dead end and that other ends have to be pursued. But, you know, we may be in a period of time in which radical things are going to happen, and these events are going to come forward sooner. We may not, but the cryonics premise doesn't depend on any particular time period. It just depends on the fact that it will happen eventually, and as long as civilization endures and mankind keeps progressing, I think it'll happen. You know, our bodies are machines, and in a lot of ways, not very good machines. I mean, I'm 59, and I wear glasses, and I'm balding, and I have to take blood pressure medication, and I have to exercise 45 minutes a day to stay in shape, and, you know, if I designed this body, I would do it a lot better if I knew how. Well, at some point, we're going to know how. And that's what people in cryonics are hoping to preserve themselves for.
And with a little over 100 bodies that are frozen in Macomb County, what's the number nationwide? Is this a fringe movement still, or is it starting to catch on?
Well, it's only a couple hundred nationwide. And so certainly of all the people who die, you know, a tiny percentage become frozen. Though that number is up significantly from a few years ago.
And do you yourself plan to undergo the cryonics process?
I do.
For those who look at the process and feel uncomfortable about it and view it as something very unnatural, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, throughout, I've grown up with this, and so to me it seems like the most obvious thing in the world, and one thing I thought about is, why is it so difficult for so many people? And, I mean, my guess is that throughout human history, we've had this horrible thing, death, that is the most terrible thing, maybe not the most terrible thing you can imagine, but one of the most terrible things you can imagine, and there was absolutely nothing we could do about it. And so people didn't want to face it. Now with cryonics, there's a possibility of avoiding that, or at least avoiding it for a period of time to come back. And but to do that, to participate, you've got to face the prospect of your death, and you've got to deal with it, and you've got to sign up with an organization that does this unusual thing and take certain steps yourself. And I think most people would rather not deal with it. But you need to. And the people in cryonics are people who are, I think, more free thinkers, people who believe that the future is going to be different and want to take steps to protect themselves and their families.
David Ettinger, he's the son of Robert Ettinger, known as the father of cryonics, who passed away here in Michigan this past weekend at the age of 92. Thank you for joining me, David.
Thank you.